الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله we moved on to the fifth session that we're discussing the glorious deed of Umrah and the two sacred harams and yesterday I spent the session talking about the glorious Kaaba i.e. the very centerpiece of the pilgrimage. And I mentioned a little bit about the history, i.e. it was sent down by the angels, alayhi salatu wasalam. I mentioned that Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, performed 300 hajjs and 700 umrah. Jibreel, alayhi salatu wasalam, performed tawaf 50,000 years before Adam was created, alayhi salatu wasalam. I mentioned that the angels were the first to perform tawaf around the holy Kaaba. I mentioned that there's 120 blessings descending on the Kaaba every day. And half of those blessings are reserved for those doing tawaf. I mentioned the report which mentions you will be truly blown away when seeing the rewards of the tawaf on the day of resurrection. Only on the day of resurrection you will realize the value. And then I mentioned some of the other reports related to the glorious deed of tawaf. So now, apart from the virtues of the Kaaba, our beloved messenger himself made a dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith is in Tabarani and Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat. The dua he made, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, grant honor, glory, esteem, dignity, and righteousness to those who sanctify, honor it, i.e. the Kaaba, by coming to it in pilgrimage. Subhanallah. Grant honor, glory, esteem, dignity, and righteousness to those who sanctify, honor it, i.e. the Kaaba, by coming to it in pilgrimage. So now this is very important to highlight. Our beloved messenger's du'as are answered. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So who has he made a du'a for? He's made a dua for those who sanctify the Kaaba, who honor the holy Kaaba. What dua did he make? Honor them. Give them glory, esteem, dignity, and righteousness. So this is part of the package of those who honor the holy Kaaba. And this is guaranteed. Because the Holy Prophet has made this dua. And like I mentioned, that when the Holy Prophet makes a dua for any deed, the deed becomes truly priceless. For instance, our beloved messenger mentions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes, O Lord, have mercy upon those who offer four rakats before the asr. This is in Tirmidhi authentic. So the four rakats before asr, you get a dua of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning you are definitely going to get the divine mercy. So whenever you hear a report which mentions that the Prophet made a dua, that deed becomes truly priceless. And what did he make a dua for? For those who honor the holy Kaaba. And what we're doing now, discussing its history, its blessings, hopefully we'll be entitled to this dua of our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you perform the tawaf around the Kaaba, the sunnah of the holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to utter the third kalima, i.e. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. So is there any significance? Yes. Our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called this particular dhikr baqiyatu salihat, the everlasting deeds, meaning that the reward for it is endless. So it's very significant that zikr was done by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was performing tawaf. He could have done any zikr. Why is he doing the everlasting zikr? Because the reward and the zikr suits the time. And this is more appropriate to do when performing the tawaf. Another zikr he did sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is when he saw the holy Kaaba in Ibn Majah, Targhib number 2112. He would say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ma atyabak wa ma atyaba rihak, ma a'azamak, وَمَا أَعْظَمَ حُرْمَتَكَ. How pure you are. How pure is your aroma. How great are you. How great is your sanctity. SubhanAllah. So think about this. Who's praising the Kaaba? The greatest of creation. Nothing is greater than the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the creation. So when he praises, is that normal praise? So whatever he's praising is less than him. But nevertheless, when he praises, it's priceless. What did he say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was performing tawaf? Ma atyabak, how pure you are. Wa ma atyaba rihak, how pure is your scent, your aroma. Ma a'zamak, how great are you. وَمَا أَعْزَمَ حُرْمَتَكَ, how great is your sanctity. So Allahu Akbar, how great is the status of the Kaaba. That our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uttered these four blessed praises of it. He said, if you look, مَا أَتْيَبَكَ, when you say Tayyiba means pure, one of the names for Al-Madina. The word is used here, مَا أَتْيَبَكَ, how pure you are. Why? It's from paradise. Then he used the word rihak, wama atyaba rihak, how pure is your aroma, i.e. the beautiful wind, the scent. Your scent is beautiful. Then he used the word a'azam, when you say subhana rabbiyal azim, glorified and free from all imperfection, is Allah the Almighty, the immense, azim. He used the same word for the Kaaba. Ma a'azamak, how immense are you. Then he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hurma, sanctity, i.e. the status. Wa ma a'azama hurmatak, how great is your sanctity. So think about this. He's made a dua for those who honor the Kaaba. That's for us, inshallah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now he's praising the Kaaba. Now why do you have to seriously reflect upon this? Because he knew everything about the Kaaba. We only know a little. He knows everything about the deen. So if somebody was to ask you, who knows exactly every virtue, every benefit, every honor given to the Kaaba, is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From this zikr, we can work out how much honor is being given to the Kaaba. Because if Rasulullah is uttering these words, it shows the immensity. So think about that. The Rasulullah is showing his deep love for the Holy Kaaba, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, when you're performing the tawaf, the famous hadith mentions that it is like salah, but you can talk. The Prophet allowed you to talk if you wished. We're not discussing the fiqh. Is it better to talk or is it better not to talk? That is the question. In Ibn Sa'd and Istabaqat 4-167, Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, Hayat al-Sahaba, Volume 5, page 121 of the New English Translation, Urwa ibn Zubair, rahmatullah alayh, he asked Abdullah ibn Umar for his daughter's hand in marriage during tawaf. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma blanked him. Later in Al-Madina, Abdullah ibn Umar saw Urwa and he said, were you asking me at a time when we were performing tawaf and could think of nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before our very eyes? Were you unable to meet me on any other occasion? And then the report continues, he gave his daughter's hand in marriage to Urwa. So what is relevant to the discussion? Why did he blank him? They're doing tawaf, so he's thinking, I need to ask for this great man's daughter's hand in marriage. So he was thinking good, that I'm doing tawaf, physical act of worship, he'll be happy if I ask him. Totally blanked him. Imagine, dear uncle, if you wish, I would like to ask for your daughter's hand in marriage. Nothing, just completely blanked him. Then look how touching. Urwa ibn Zubair didn't take it to heart. Didn't you get no impression he was upset? Then in Al-Madinah, so how many weeks later are you talking? Weeks later, Abdullah ibn Umar calls him. And look what he said to him. Now this is the key. Were you asking me at a time when we were performing tawaf and we could think of nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before our very eyes? So what was Ibn Umar highlighting? You're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he's right in front of us. And then he says, were you unable to meet me any other time of all the times to ask me? But then he goes, I'll gladly give you my daughter. And he gave his daughter's hand in marriage. So what does this tell you? It tells you it's better not to talk. Right? So if you talk, obviously, if it's about the deen, no problem. But some of the ulama said, no, nothing. Because you're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like I mentioned, the Kaaba symbolizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His presence. How can you turn attention anywhere else from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So therefore, it is better if you just focus on your dhikr. It's not a time to ask questions and the rest of it. Right? To show further honor to the holy Kaaba, which Ibn Umar was highlighting. Also, if we're fortunate, it might rain. And when it rains, it is very important that we try to get tawaf during rain. In Ibn Majah, number 3118, Ibn Adi, 3-960, Taqrib, Sayyidina Anas, radiyallahu anhu, he performed tawaf in the rain. Then he did 2 rakats at the maqam of Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam. He thereupon said with happiness, rejoice, begin your deeds fresh, for all your previous sins have been forgiven. This is what Rasulullah told us, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after we had performed tawaf with him in the rain. Subhanallah. So now, when it rains, it's more difficult to perform the tawaf. There's no doubt about that. You could slip with the marble in place now. But it becomes more blessed. One tawaf, complete wipe out of your sins if it rains. And Anas, the servant of Rasulullah, did it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he did it, he did the 2 rakats. And he was so happy. And he goes, rejoice to all of them. He goes, Allah Ta'ala has completely wiped out everything. He goes, I heard this from Rasulullah when we perform tawaf in the rain. So if it rains, you should try to rush to the Kaaba. Right? Sometimes the rain goes on for a while, so don't really panic. It's not like here on off. When it comes, it comes. And also, just to add, what are the companions? Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu, he was nicknamed the pigeon of the masjid. He was always found in Masjid al-Haram. And once it rained so heavily, the Kaaba was flooded. He performed tawaf swimming. Imagine, he was swimming around the Kaaba, performed tawaf. Right? And the scholars, they even go into which type of stroke was it? Was it the front crawl? Was it the butterfly? Right? And how did he perform 2 rakats? But the lesson we can take from that is, even if it's flooded, make that intention. I'm ready to swim. Right? Think about that. Right? So they were swimming around the Kaaba. So if you get all your sins forgiven by performing tawaf in the rain, then what do you think you'll get if you're performing tawaf swimming? You know, subhanAllah, think about that. So no, they'll look for the Kaaba. They wouldn't let anything get in the way. Another thing which is more common is the heat. And this is again showing the ignorance of many people. They say we have to wait for the heat to subside before we perform tawaf. So dunya sense, that's intelligence. Because why would you want to get heat stroke? But akhirat sense, you're a fruitcake. Right? Why? Because the heat is blessed. Why should you strive to even do tawaf in the immense heat? Because half is al-uqayli, it is ad-du'afa. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma said, whoever bears with the heat of Makkah for 1 hour, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall graciously keep Jahannam away from him a distance of 70 autumns. Subhanallah. Whoever bears with the heat of Makkah for 1 hour, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall graciously keep Jahannam away from him a distance of 70 autumns. Now this isn't talking about tawaf. You're in Makkah. That's one of the blessings of Makkah. You praying salat and the he's blasting it. 1 hour of that he, 70 years you are distanced from the fire. So I'd rather take the sun's heat than the fire of hell. Now think about that. When you perform tawaf, usually it takes about an hour, depending upon the crowds. So what better time to do it? When the sun's blasting. So when, and the other thing is, people don't go out, it's too hot. So you're thinking, right, here we go. Go straight in there. When you're getting doing the tawaf, you're getting enjoyment because this is the most glorious deed. At the same time, when the heat's blasting, you're getting another enjoyment. You know, you can't even call it sadistic because it's blessed. You're getting a blessed enjoyment from the heat. So sweat's pouring off and look how beautiful. Zamzam's everywhere. Just in case something happens, don't worry. Allah Ta'ala is going to give you water, the best water in the creation. Right? So note, whether it's raining or shining, Allah Ta'ala is looking after His guests. Have you noticed? When it's raining, do the tawaf. When it's 50 degrees plus, do the tawaf. The key thing is do tawaf. You understand? The key thing is to do the tawaf. What greater honor can there be than the following? In Bayhaqi and Darqutni, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proud of those who go around the Kaaba. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proud of those who go around the Kaaba. Wouldn't you, how happy do you get when you please your parents? You notice when you bring a smile to their face, somebody goes, why did you do it? Go, brother, you don't know how much I get happy when I make them happy. What's your parents compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he goes, nothing. Then why don't you make him proud? And he goes, astaghfirullah, brother, Allah ta'ala is, he's the king of kings. You know, what, how can perform tawaf? He boasts about you. Imagine, boasting about me. Why is he boasting about me? Don't know, brother. He likes it. And who's he boasting to? The angels. Why? What did they say? I mentioned it yesterday. Because are you creating someone who will create mischief in the land? And Allah Ta'ala got angry for our sake. And then they start doing tawaf around the arsh. And then Allah Ta'ala's anger went and he became happy. And then he told the angels, now put the Kaaba on the earth. So when the son of Adam, I'm angry with them. When they do what you do around my house, I'll become happy with them. So when you're performing the tawaf, that's the end of that report. Allah Ta'ala is basically saying to the angels, I thought they were going to create mischief. And look how beautiful it is. You can count it. How many people do tawaf? It's one of those deeds you can literally count. Sometimes you only get a couple of hundred people doing it. And you think about that. Just a couple of hundred people in the entire earth, you're one of them. You know how great a deed is that? Right? Sometimes some very fortunate people, they're the only ones doing tawaf. That's more difficult now. Imagine the only person on earth. I'll give you a narration. This man, he came crying to the scholars. He goes, I've divorced my wife. He goes, how did you divorce your wife? So he said, I said to my wife in anger, you're divorced unless I can do a deed that nobody else does on the earth. So the wife goes, class, what deed are you going to do? So he thought, what have I said? Right? He goes to the scholars, they go, you might as well do the three T's and khalas. Because what deed can you? Because somebody else is certainly going to be doing that deed. He went to Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh. And he was thinking, if anybody can get me out of it, it's Imam Abu Hanifa. And he goes, Imam, please, this is my scenario. I don't want to separate from my wife, but I've made a crazy vow. He goes, what was it? He goes, I have to do a deed that nobody else can be doing on the earth. He goes, did you really make that vow? He goes, yes. So Imam Abu Hanifa pulled a few strings, rahmatullah alayh. He told him, go to the Kaaba. And he goes, I've told the authorities that you can do tawaf by yourself. And you're the only one on earth who will be doing it. Then go back to your wife. Right? So now think about that. Apart from the great knowledge of Imam Abu Hanifa, what's that telling you about tawaf? It's a very, very strange deed, right? Because nobody hardly is doing it on the earth. So when you're there, you should think, what a great honor for me. Couple of thousand people, I'm one of them. How many billions of people on the earth? 7 billion? How many people doing tawaf? Couple of thousand? You're one of them. Think about that. You know, you want to know about lottery, that's the true lottery. Allah Ta'ala has chosen you to go around His house and He's boasting about you. Imagine. Like I mentioned yesterday, looking at the Kaaba completely wipes out your sins, but with condition. You have Iman and you have approval for its value. The only way to get approval for the value is what you're doing now. You're learning about it. People go there, they don't know what's going on. They do get moved to tears because they see the Kaaba, but they can't explain it. You notice that, very interesting. The people go and they say, I don't know what's happening. So mashallah, because you're in the blessed surroundings. But have they got approval for it? No. Because they don't know nothing about the Kaaba. So here, if you have understanding of the value of the Kaaba, just looking at it completely wipes out your sins. Then I mentioned yesterday, it is better than worshipping of the one doing jihad, fasting during jihad, praying tahajjud during the night during jihad. Just looking at it. And this is the least of the blessings of the Kaaba. This is the 20 that are descending which you look at. Then what about those performing salat around the Kaaba? What are they getting? Then what about those doing tawaf? So now this is very important. One of the strange things about the Kaaba which needs to be mentioned. It's very similar to our beloved messenger. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So a person goes, how is it similar to our beloved messenger? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was the first and the last. So a person goes, what do you mean it was the first and the last? It was the first masjid to be built, but it was the last Qibla. Everybody goes, yes, that's true. Who is the first and last prophet? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, have you ever thought about that? The guy gets, I never thought about that. What else is similar about the Kaaba? Is it from the earth or is it from paradise? Because it's from paradise. But where is it? It's on the earth. Rasulullah. Where's his essence? Both from Firdaus and from the earth, which I'll mention when I'm talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similar to the Kaaba. The Kaaba, everything was created around it. What was the creation created for? Rasulullah. So what's very significant? The Kaaba symbolizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, is inexplicably interwoven with Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think about it. All the other previous prophets, they had such a love for the Kaaba. I'll mention that in a bit inshallah. But they couldn't face it. It wasn't their Qibla. Allah Ta'ala kept the best for last. Who was the best and the last? Rasulullah. Their Qibla was for us. Imagine sinful people like us. The Bani Israel, the hadith is in Imam Ahmad's Musnad. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the Bani Israel are envious of you over three things. Because these three things killed them. Though they won't mention it. One is salam. When you give salam, because it hurts them. The second is when you say Ameen after Fatiha, because that really hurts them. And the third is your Qibla. So to this day, when we're facing the Kaaba, you don't realize how much hurts going through their heart, because they know this is the Qibla. So note again, the Kaaba is truly an awesome sign from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, let's talk about some rewards. Now this is another secret. If you offer a prayer in the at home, How much does it multiply? Once. If you offer the prayer in the masjid, how much does it multiply? 25 to 27. If you offer the masjid, if you offer the salat in the Jummah masjid, in a week hadith in Ibn Majah, it mentions it multiplies 500 times. But you notice that when you go to a different place, Masjid al-Nabi, more so. Masjid al-Haram, more so. So salat increases. Tawaf. Can it increase? A person goes, no. Why can't it increase? Because it can only be done in one place. That's one of the secrets. If it can only be done in one place, it means it must be the maximum benefit immediately for that deed. Because there's nowhere else to do it. Think about that. You know, people don't mention the most obvious things sometimes. If you could do tawaf anywhere else, then maybe the reward will increase. You can't do it anywhere else. So do you think Allah Ta'ala is going to give you minimum wage for tawaf or maximum? Right? Think about that. So now, let me mention the reward for praying in Masjid al-Haram. Most people know this. The hadith is in Ibn Majah, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 16,117, Behaki 5-246, Bazar, number 425, Ibn Hibban, number 4,260, it's Sahih in Sahih al-Jami, number 3,841. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one prayer at Masjid al-Haram is afdalu, is greater 100 fold than one prayer in this masjid of mine. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can I say that again? One prayer at Masjid al-Haram, the Kaaba, is afdalu, greater 100 fold than one prayer in this masjid of mine, Masjid al-Nabi. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a flawless report. So if you take it literally, whatever reward you get in Masjid al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you get 100 times more so in the Haram. This is the literal meaning of the hadith. So now, I've done the math. Right? You don't need to do it. I'll give you the what this means. If you offer one prayer around the Kaaba, this is how you work it out. 27 times 1,000 times 100. 27 being a masjid, 1,000 being Masjid al-Nabi, and 100 the Haram. This equals 2,700,000 salats offered individually. So if you offer one farad salat around the Kaaba, it's like you've offered one farad salat at home 2,700,000 times. What does that mean? Let's break it down more. What does that mean? It means you've prayed in your home for 1,400 to 1,500 years of five farad prayers offered individually. Imagine, right? If somebody says, I know a person, he's offered all his five farad prayers, may Allah forgive him, he didn't go to the masjid once, but he did his five farads on time, prayed it all at home. How many years? And he goes, you're not going to believe it, brother, but I'm going to tell you, he's been doing it since the time of Rasulullah. So what are you talking about, right? He goes, what, 1,430 years? Yeah. He goes, he hasn't missed a prayer. And he's done it. And you go, mashallah, it's amazing, that. I know somebody who beat him. And then he goes, brother, how can he be that? 1,430 years, five farad prayers at home without missing a single one. Yeah. I offered one prayer at the Haram. I beat him. A person goes, what you want about, brother? Right? There you go. When you actually break it down, you have to keep breaking the hadith down. People don't get it. 100 times more, 1,000 times, brother, still doesn't get it. It's only when you break it down to the nuts and bolts, the person, the penny drops. What? Well, now he's right there. Now what do you think of the Haram? That's one prayer. But it's greater. The Prophet didn't say it's equal. So you have to add this to the equation. Is more than 1,400 years for the prayer at home, 5 days, five times a day. More than, I don't know how much more, brother. It could be 10,000. This is if you offer the prayer there. Now, some secrets. Can you increase the reward? Yes, you can. Now, these two deeds, if you don't do it there, you're an absolute idiot. That's the way to, I mean, I've got to be say it as it is. You're an absolute idiot. If you don't do those two deeds there, you're an absolute idiot. What two deeds? You don't use the miswak, and you don't wear a turban. I'll explain why. So first of all, the miswak. In Bayhaqi, in his Shu'ab al-Iman, number 2774, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, offering salat, having performed miswak, is 70 times greater than the salat performed without using the miswak. So what did the Prophet ﷺ say? If you offer a salat, doesn't matter where you are, you'll get the reward of that prayer wherever you are. If you use the miswak, it multiplies more than 70 times. So a person goes, hang on a minute. You just said 1,000 for... Oh, he's working. Yeah, nah. We'll get to that in a bit. So one is miswak. Turban. The turban is called the imama. The imama. And Dailami in his Musnad al-Firdaus, number 3233, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 2 rakat salat performed whilst wearing an imama are greater than offering 70 rakats without wearing an imama. 2 rakats salat performed whilst wearing an imama are greater, underline that word, are greater than offering 70 rakats without wearing an imama. So I've done the maths. Don't worry yourself, right? Let me give you the facts now. If you offer one prayer individually at home, so you're not even going anywhere, you get miswak up, you put the blessed imama on, the salat multiplies over 2,450 times at home. Over. That's the, it's got to be over that. Then a person goes, hey? Don't worry about it, right? That's at home. If you offer one prayer with the miswak and the imama in the local masjid, the salat multiplies over 61,250 times. Any masjid, 61,250 times. Breaking that down further, that means it's more than 34 and a half years you've offered individual prayers. So if somebody's praying at home, 34 and a half years, you've offered one prayer in the local masjid like we are now, with the imam and the miswak, you got his reward. Masjid al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you offer one prayer with the imam and the miswak in Masjid al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it multiplies 2,450,000 times. 2,450,000 times over that. What's that in years? More than 1,400 years. If you offer the prayer in Masjid al-Nabi with the imama and the miswak, it's like you've been praying since the time of Rasulullah for 1,400 years at home. The Kaaba. If you offer one prayer around the Kaaba with the miswak and the imama, it multiplies over 200,450,000 times. 200,450,000 times. What's that? That's more than 140,000 years at home. More than 140,000 years at home. So now, have you noticed? The figure isn't exact. It's more than. So a person goes, I'm happy with that. But I'm just interested. Can you get closer to the reward? You mentioned it's over. You can get closer. There's another hadith. How much exactly? Or how, you know, what's more closer to the exact figure? In Dailami, in his Musnad al-Firdaus, number 3805, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, offering salat whilst wearing an imama is equal to 10,000 virtues. Now it's not more. The Prophet used the word equal. This is a critical hadith. Offering salah whilst wearing an imama is equal to 10,000 virtues. So now we add this to the equation. So putting it simply, if you offer one prayer with the miswak and the imama in Masjid al-Nabi, it is closer, not exact, than 700 million individual prayers, which is around 400,000 years. But even then, you're not exact. You got closer. So a person goes, I'm not making it up. Been recorded. I'll give you a reference. One prayer in Masjid al-Nabi with the miswak and the imam is closer to 700 million prayers individually, which is 400,000 years at home. But even now, you're not exactly there. What about the Kaaba? One prayer in the around the Kaaba with the miswak and the imam is greater than 70 billion individuals. This is around 40 million years in your home. So now a person goes, this is too good to be true. Has Allah Ta'ala got unending treasures? Does he make a dint in his treasures? Are you not his guest? Are you not in the holiest sanctuary of all? What do you think he's going to give you? But why is he increasing? Because of love for his beloved. Because you're emulating the Holy Prophet. So Allah Ta'ala loves that too much. The miswak, he sees the miswak, he increases the reward. He sees the imam, he increases the reward. Now think about that, just using logic. What if I put other sunnats on? What if I put leather socks on? What if I, you know, just anything, you know, a green shawl? Even though there's no text, it seems to indicate Allah Ta'ala will increase the rewards. So note these two things. That's why I said you must be an idiot. The only time you become an idiot is that you know now and you still don't do it. If you didn't know, now you know. Just for the sake of a miswak, imagine. But now you've got to be careful. When you're performing umrah, you can't wear the imam. This has to be in your normal clothing when you're doing your normal tawaf. Don't start doing ihram when there's a big turban on your head next minute. Brother, what's happening there? No, you can't wear the imam. And the other beautiful thing about it is it's very practical. The heat, like I mentioned, alhamdulillah, we're getting these sins forgiven. It's an umbrella. Alhamdulillah, right? You know, the heat, it absorbs the sweat. It's very practical as well. It's not just there to make things difficult for you. So what I would humbly suggest is that you have a miswag ready with you and also an imamah, ready-made imamah, if you can, you know, make that. And inshallah, look at these incredible rewards, unless you want to do it the hard way, which is impossible. You have to live billions and billions of years. This is impossible. So note, all of this should not be strange. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala blesses those who come to His house. But you need to know how to acquire the treasures. One of the brothers asked me, are there any authentic reports about the imamah? There's many. On the day of Badr, the angels came with the imamah. They came with yellow turbans. The angels. The angels that participated in Badr were the greatest of all the angels. Bukhari Sharif. What did Allah Ta'ala make them wear? Even in battle. Yellow turbans. Zubair, one of the 10 promised paradise, was wearing a yellow turban. They were emulating him. So if they were wearing it in battle, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to work out, does it, brother? They're going to be wearing it all the time. Why? Because Rasulullah was wearing it. So the way I see it is, at the very least, before we pass away, at least we wore it around the harf when we were the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, when you're paying your respects to our beloved messenger, you know, he wants to see you with these blessings that Allah Ta'ala has blessed. Right? So when you approach the Holy Prophet, what better than to see, you know, the blessed sunnah upon you, as if to say, look, I'm a sinful person, but outwardly I'm emulating you, Ya Rasulullah. Is a further excuse for him to make dua for you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note, again, we'll spend another session on the Holy Kaaba tomorrow, inshallah. But when you go to the Kaaba, what's happening? Your sins are getting obliterated. Your deeds are going berserk. Your ranks are going berserk. Your needs, which I'll mention tomorrow, your needs are getting fulfilled. Why? Because this is the greatest masjid on earth. And it symbolizes Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So note, when you talk about this, it creates a great yearning. It creates an immense yearning for one and all to go to the Holy Lands. The tragedy is, I'm sure you're probably thinking this, we've been so many times and yet we didn't know. And this is why it's so important to prepare. You know, people just go last day. I'm going tomorrow, brother. Don't forget your passport, brother. Right? You know, what are you supposed to do? You know, you need to prepare. And the more you prepare, the more Allah Ta'ala will give from His treasures. By the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. سبحان ربي الحمد لله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل في الانسان الذي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل بالحق وواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم.